We do come now to God's Word this morning. We're continuing forward in our series in Luke's Gospel. This morning we are in Luke chapter 10. We're finishing up on Luke chapter 10 this morning. Reading together verses 38 through 42. So I would invite you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word or in your pew Bible to Luke chapter 10. We'll read together verses 38 through 42. Let's give our attention to the reading of God's Word. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we come now to your word, we do so asking for your help. We ask that you would open our hearts to receive it, that you would open our eyes to see Christ, that you would drive our hearts to Christ, that you would give us a special portion of your Holy Spirit, that we would see Christ as he is, that we would see our sin for what it is, that we would be driven to repentance and faith in him. Would you speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. No doubt you've had the experience of greeting a friend with the common expression, "Hi, how are you?" Only to have them respond not with the customary, "I'm doing fine" or "I'm doing well," but with, "I'm busy." Has that happened to you? Maybe you've been that person. Maybe you are that person now, the "I'm busy" person. We live in an age of busyness, it's true. We're entering into a season of further hurry, further busyness. And what we fail to see often as Christians is the spiritual cost of this way of life, the spiritual cost of the busy life. Because in some ways, our culture tends to treat busyness and hurry as a badge of honor. That perhaps somehow having your schedule chock full of so many activities, more activities than any sane person can handle, that must mean that you're important. That must mean that you're significant. That must mean that you have a fulfilling life because your schedule is so full. But how are we as Christians to think about this? How are we as those who desire to follow Christ, how are we to think about these things? Well, that's what we find in our passage this morning. We see in this passage a depiction of the spiritual cost of the busied, hurried life that our culture so very much values. And in fact, we see Jesus in this passage calling us away from that way of life and to a better way, towards a better way of life found in him. So if you find yourself this morning in a place of stress and exhaustion, unsettled, weary, perhaps dreading the next month or so where it's going to be even more busy and you're going to be even more stressed. If perhaps you find yourself asking from time to time, "Is this it? Is this what my life is supposed to be like? I seem like I have so little time. I feel like I have so little joy. I'm beyond exhausted. I'm beyond stressed. Even within the church, which is supposed to be this place of refuge, it feels like all I do is work. Where is their rest? Where is their hope? Is this what it means to be a Christian?" If you felt that way, this is a passage to pay attention to. Yes, it's a familiar story, the story of Mary and Martha, but as we look at the deeper meaning together, we see in this passage that it's about so much more than just don't be a Martha. We see in this passage, this passage shows us the spiritual cost of the hurried life. It gets at the heart of the issue, and we see Christ in this passage calling us to a better way, to the good portion that will not be taken away from us. In this passage in particular, we find the three costs of the hurried life. The three costs. The first is distraction, which leads to dysfunction, which then robs us of delight. Three costs of the hurried life. Distraction, dysfunction, which then threatens to rob us of delight. As our text begins, we see Jesus and his disciples are continuing on their journey to Jerusalem. That's what it says in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Yes, this is the same Martha. This is the same Mary that we read of in John's gospel. They were the sisters of Lazarus. They were both devoted followers of Jesus Christ. They both loved Jesus. They both wanted to serve Jesus. But it appears for just a small moment in time, perhaps in just a few moments, Martha lost her way. And that's what we see in the interaction that follows here. If you look at verses 39 through 40, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, but Martha was distracted with much serving. There is a contrast here between Mary, between Martha. Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. This was a common thing for a student to do, to sit at the feet of a rabbi and be instructed by him and listen to his teaching. That's what she was doing, being instructed by Jesus, sitting at his feet, listening to his word, the very word of God from the mouth of Christ. But what about Martha? She'd welcomed Jesus into her home. No doubt she intended to prepare a meal for him. She wanted to prepare a good meal for him. And so she was distracted. She's very concerned, very busied with being the exemplary host. Perhaps you know that feeling. Perhaps if you're honest, you identify a little bit with Martha here. She wanted to serve Jesus well. As our text says, she was distracted with much serving. Here's the contrast. Mary, at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching, and Martha, distracted by much serving. Now, we should not come down too hard on Martha here. She is trying to serve her Savior. That is commendable. A key aspect of Christian discipleship is service. Martha's problem was not in what she was doing. It wasn't the fact that she was serving. Her problem was a matter of priority. Because she was hurried and busied by being the perfect host, she was distracted by her service, distracted away from what really matters. That's what we see here, which is, of course, the most important thing that she could be doing in this text. It's what we see Mary doing, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. Martha was distracted away from that by much serving. This is the spiritual cost of busyness that we see in Martha's life here. She was distracted away from hearing the word of Christ by her service of Christ. This word distracted here, it means literally to be dragged away, to be pulled away by something. This is the spiritual cost for Martha here. In her stressed out busyness, her attention has been pulled away. It's been dragged away from what really matters. And this is important for us as Christians and as the church, because just like Martha here, as individuals, as the church, we oftentimes become so busy, we become so hurried that we lose sight of what really matters. We lose sight of what should be the priority. It's so easy for us to get distracted, to have our attention get dragged away by lesser things. Pay attention here to the fact that Martha is not distracted by something bad. That's significant for us. She's not distracted by something that's bad. Serving Christ is good. The problem is that her serving Christ has taken the place of her being with Christ in his word, listening to him. You see, beloved, our main problem is not that we are distracted oftentimes by bad things. Oftentimes our problem is a matter of priority. Our problem is that when good things distract us from the best thing, the one thing necessary. That's what Christ says in a few verses, the one thing necessary. See, brothers and sisters, so much of Christian discipleship, so much of following Jesus Christ faithfully is a matter of choosing the right priorities, choosing and ordering your priorities faithfully. It's learning to choose between what is good and what is best, and prioritizing that which is best. So much of our frustration in our lives, so much of our frustrations even within the church, is the result of distracted, disordered priorities. There are so many things that vie for the top spot, that vie for our attention. So many things that would distract us from the one thing necessary. Here's what I mean. Think about it this way. Spending time with your family on the weekends is a good thing. It's a gift of God. Spending time with your family, recreating, it is a gift from God for you to use for His glory. But it is not more important than worshiping God on the Lord's Day. That is the best thing. That is the good portion. That is the one thing necessary to worship God. That should be your priority. That should be on the top of your list. And so if your family time, if your recreation on the weekends gets in the way of your ability to worship God, to come to worship on the Lord's Day, you have disordered priorities. You're choosing something good over what is best. Or think of it another way. Our jobs, our vocation, they're good things. God's made us to work, to be productive, to proliferate in this world, to work for His glory. Our vocations, our jobs are good things. But they're not more important than pursuing Christ by His word. They're not more important than your personal devotion. That's more important. Pursuing Jesus is more important. And so, if you're working a schedule that is so chock full, if you're working overtime and all these hours that's keeping you away from Christ, that is an issue of disordered priorities. It's choosing something good over and against what is best. Or think of it yet another way, within the church. Serving Christ is good. We should use our gifts to glorify God. He's given us gifts to be used for His service. It should be a fruit of our discipleship. But the main fruit of your discipleship is knowing and loving Christ more and more. The main fruit of your discipleship should be that you are growing in your knowledge and love of Christ by His word. Christian, hear this. Your service of Christ cannot replace your pursuit of Christ. Your service of Christ cannot replace your pursuit of Christ by His word. When you're all the work that you're doing for Jesus is actually replacing pursuing Him by His word, that's an issue of disordered, distracted priorities. That's what we see in Martha here. Her heart was distracted away, pulled away from knowing and loving Christ by something good, by her service of Christ. You know, this is one of the primary temptations that pastors run into. People who work in ministry, pastors, to have your religious service be the extent of your relationship with God. Then again and again, your relationship with Christ is just a form of employment that in your service, it's so easy to miss the living Christ, to lose the joy of sitting at His feet, to lose the joy of hearing from His word. In fact, selfishly, one of the best things that you can pray for your pastor is that he would love Jesus, that he would be growing in his knowledge and love of Christ more each day, that he would be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, because that's the one thing necessary. It's a danger for pastors to lose our first love. It's a danger for churches. Some of you have been taught, or perhaps you've seen modeled for you, that to be a Christian means to be useful for Jesus. to be busy for Jesus. That to follow Christ means just rolling up your sleeves and getting busy. That the primary sign of how healthy you are spiritually is how many hours you log in the church building in a given week. Again, service to Christ is important. Serving Christ is good. It's a part of following Him. But it is not the most important part. That's what we're seeing here. Being a Christian, following Jesus, is not about what you do for Christ, primarily. Being a Christian is about who you are in Christ by His grace. And so if your Christianity is all about what you do for Jesus, if you neglect your devotion of Christ, if you neglect Bible studies, if you neglect corporate worship, if you neglect sitting under the teaching of God's Word, all because you're so busy working for Him and you think somehow that counts, you're missing the point. You're living out of a distracted heart. This should be freeing for you. Jesus doesn't need your service. Jesus doesn't need your work. He wants your heart. The sacrifices of God, it says in Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God, what He wants primarily from you, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, You will not despise. God wants our heart, primarily. Most of all, you see, beloved, we need to push back against this false secular ideology that everywhere in this world you are getting, you're being preached this every day of your life. You are what you do. You are what you produce. You are the work that you can show at the end of the day. Somehow your life, your existence is validated by your behavior. That so easily slips into the church, and it's a lie. That's not Christianity. Christianity is not you are what you do. Christianity is you are what Christ has done for you and is doing in you by His grace. And this is so important for us because do you want to know what the result is of a life that is distracted away from what really matters? A hurried, busied, stressed out life that's often distracted away from what really matters. It's the second cost that we see here in this passage. Distraction leads to dysfunction. It's clear as our passage moves forward that Martha's distraction quickly led to dysfunction, both in her relationship with Christ, her relationship with Mary, and in her own heart. That's why she approaches Christ in frustration, saying in verse 20, Lord, do You not care? Do You not care that my sister has left me alone? Tell her then to help me. Martha was so distracted, so hurried in her service of Jesus, that she became frustrated and angry with the very person that she was trying to please with her service. Do you notice that? She was so distracted and hurried that she became angry and frustrated with the very Savior that she was trying so hard to please and trying so hard to serve. Distraction leads to dysfunction. A separation in our hearts between us and God. Frustration in the heart of Martha here towards her Savior, and then frustration towards her sister. That's what Christ diagnoses in Martha in verse 41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Notice how gently Jesus responds here to Martha. Christ responds to Martha's frustration with mercy to repeat a name like this, Martha, Martha. It's a sign of endearment. It's a sign of love. It's a sign of mercy. Jesus loves Martha, so He gently corrects her by diagnosing the dysfunction in her heart. Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. It's interesting how little things have changed in the world after 2,000 years. Anxious and troubled about many things. Isn't that the world we live in? Anxiously troubled about many things. Why is Martha anxious and troubled? Let's unpack it a little bit here. It's because her heart, again, is focused on the wrong things. Her heart has been pulled away towards lesser things that will not satisfy and would only result in anxiety, stress, and dysfunction. You see, beloved, so much of the anxiety and turmoil that we experience in our hearts, in our relationships, so much of our anxiety, so much of our trouble, so much of our turmoil and dysfunction is the result of priorities that are disordered and misaligned. Priorities that are distracted and misaligned. And the primary thing that leads us to this dysfunction in our hearts is a focus on doing for Christ rather than being with Christ. The primary source of this dysfunction in our hearts is this focus on doing things for Christ rather than meditating in faith and love on who we are in Christ. Here's what I mean. Martha was so focused on what she was doing for Jesus, her plans, her priorities, what she wanted to happen in that moment, that she had never stopped to consider what Jesus' plan and Jesus' priorities were for her. She was so focused on what she intended to do for Jesus and making that happen that she had not stopped to consider what Jesus intended to do for her. She made her relationship with Christ about what she was doing for Christ. To say it another way, she was focused on the wrong person. She was focused on herself, not on Jesus. She was trying to find joy and delight and satisfaction in what she was doing for Jesus instead of what Jesus was doing for her and could do for her by his word and by his spirit. She wanted Jesus and Mary to get on board with this agenda that she had, this priority that she had. And when that didn't happen, the result was dysfunction in her relationship with Christ, anxiety, trouble in her heart. You see, friends, trusting and depending on your religious performance, trusting and depending and trying to get satisfaction out of your service, trying to validate your existence with your work, it will always lead to dysfunction in your heart and in your relationships. You will always be anxious and troubled about many things because you are not enough. You can't do enough and be enough to have a satisfying life. That's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why he came. You'll always be anxious and troubled because none of this is meant to be about you. So much strife in our lives, so much trouble comes as a result of losing focus on what really matters. Losing focus on what this all is about. And for those who seek to follow Christ, that means losing focus on the reality that this is all about Jesus. Everything that you are, everything that you do is all about Christ. We belong to him and we follow in his footsteps. So much strife, so much dysfunction, disunity in our lives as Christians is the result of becoming so focused on ourselves, our relationships, our priorities, our agenda, our ideas, our plan for our life. That's why there are so many Christians who are so busied, so hurried with life. Even so busied and so hurried within the church who have so little joy. Do you see that? People who are busied and hurried and stressed, they have so much going on, their calendar is full. Do they seem happy? Perhaps they seem happy, but in their hearts, they're not. We can have so little joy in our service of Christ when it's about us. And there's no joy to be found in striving out our own existence, even in the name of Christ. There's only anxiousness and trouble. And so, beloved, if you find yourself in that place today, the place of anxiousness, the place of trouble, the place of hurry, the place of distraction and dysfunction, hear in this passage the voice of your Savior calling you back to a better way in him. calling you back to delight in him. Because not only does the hurried life lead to distraction and dysfunction, it also threatens to rob us of delight. That's the third and final cost that we see in this passage. The hurried life leaves us in a place of distraction and dysfunction and threatens to rob us of the delight that Christ has won for us. Because what we see clearly from this passage is that even just for a moment, Martha has no joy, no delight in her service of Jesus. In fact, it's only leading to frustration. And in this, she misses the point. Following Jesus is not about begrudging obligatory service. Following Jesus is the way of delight, the way of joy, the way of peace in his presence, the way of contentment. That's what Christ reminds Martha as this passage goes on. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. There is one thing necessary for Christians, one thing needful, the good portion. What is it? It's so easy. It's so simple. It's easy to miss. It's Jesus. It's the Sunday school answer. It's Jesus. Knowing him, loving him, listening to him, delighting in him. That is the one thing necessary. He is the good portion that will not be taken away from those who genuinely seek him. The problem is, ironically, that we so often and so easily lose sight of the fact that Christianity is about Christ. That Christianity is about Jesus. It's about worshiping the Father in the name of the Son, in the power of his Holy Spirit. It's all about Jesus. We exist to praise Christ, proclaim Christ, know Christ, love Christ, serve Christ, share Christ, and show Christ. It's all about Jesus. And that is the way of joy and delight. And so when Christianity, when our following Jesus becomes man-centered, focused on us, focused on our priorities, focused on our agenda, focused on what we want out of life, focused even on our service of Christ, what we do for him, that robs us of delight. To say it another way, Jesus is better and more important and will bring more joy to your life than whatever secondary issue you're distracted by. Jesus is better. He is the good portion, not us. And so we focus our attention on Jesus. See, beloved, there are two ways of following Christ that are contrasted in this passage. Two ways of following Christ. The first one is the way of distraction with self. Preoccupation with self, which then leads to dysfunction in our lives and in our relationships. There's the way of distraction, but there's also the way of devotion. The way of devotion to Christ. And the point of this passage is the way of devotion to Christ is the way of delight. That's the good news for us today from this passage. Christ came to set us free from sinful toil and striving. In an age of distraction and dysfunction, the way of Christ is the way of delight. That's what we see in Mary here. She's sitting at the feet of her Savior, listening to his teaching. This is what it means to follow Jesus at a basic level. Knowing Christ and loving Christ by his word. That's what it means to be a Christian. This language here of the good portion, it's filled with theological significance biblically. It shows up throughout the Old Testament scriptures. Psalm 16:5 says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot." Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Here's the point. The Lord is supposed to be what we want most. The Lord is what we desire most. The Lord is who we delight in most, because only Jesus can bring us lasting joy that will not and cannot be taken from us. I'm a big fan of barbecue and somewhat of an amateur barbecuer myself. And so when I think about this language here of the good portion, my mind immediately goes to the best, most flavorful portion of a Boston butt. It's called the money muscle. It's this tender, flavorful part that you take out and you give it to the judges at competitions. It's the best portion. Or perhaps the prime part of a beef brisket, the point. It's fatty and juicy and delicious. That's the good stuff. It's what you want on your plate because it's the best. That's what Jesus is saying here to Martha. Mary has chosen the best part. She's filled her plate with the good portion, my very word, and that will not be taken away from her. You see, beloved, you can choose to live your life always distracted by the meal that you're trying to prepare for Jesus. Always distracted by your service of him, the meal of your religious performance and service. You can try to get Jesus and everybody else to sit at that table. Or you can come to the feast of Christ, saying, don't bother me with all those other things. I want the good stuff. I want the best portion. I want to sit at the feet of Christ to dine from the rich food of his word. That's the good portion. That is the way of delight. You see, Martha's main problem here was that she was focused on the wrong meal. She was focused on the meal that she had for Jesus, not the meal that Jesus had for her in his very word. And as we come to close, I'm talking about meals and we're getting close to lunch, but as we come to close by way of application, I would encourage you this week as you take some time away, as perhaps you enjoy Thanksgiving together, I would encourage you to take a look at your life. Use that time to look at your priorities. Have you become distracted by much serving? Is your heart anxious? Is it troubled? Do you spend much time in busyness, hurry, and stress, and little time with Christ and his word? Are you sitting at Jesus' feet, or perhaps are you just busy in the kitchen? The invitation this morning is to come to the feast, to sit at the feet of your Savior, to hear good news of redemption and forgiveness, to hear good news of freedom from striving, the good news that Christ has done it all for you. All that's required, so you can turn to him, rest in him, and feast on his word. He is the good portion that no one can take from you. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we do thank you that you have given us Christ, the good portion for our souls. He cannot be taken away from us. He is with us. He is for us. Father, fix the eyes of our heart on Christ. Let us know him more and more. Let us forsake the lesser things in this world, even good things that you've given us, that we might pursue Christ wholeheartedly for his glory. Would you work in our hearts and lives, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.